Hey guys, how
Hello.
are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
Hello. Can you guys hear me all right?
We hear you, sir. Test
All right.
successful.
Sweet. Yeah, yesterday I was running through trying to figure out how all of the Twitter Spaces stuff actually works. So I think I'm in a good spot.
Oh yeah, normally it just
How's
doesn't.
everybody? Yeah, exactly. Little randomness for us there.
This worked out well. I was talking to Patriot Sounds about doing a space today just to do something, just, have at least something for people to chew on. So I'm glad that you guys are already talking the same and we can do it all together.
Yeah, 100%. Alex and I really want to make sure that we're, communicating the whole ThorFi situation. And yeah, had a had something on the books for today, but yeah, Spaces is great too, just because it gets, better distribution out there. So yeah, where do we want to kick things off?
Do you think we should just recap what happened? Because I noticed somebody posted today basically saying he went to go pay back his loan. He couldn't, and he's like, what's going on? So I imagine, we're gonna have to be dealing with this for the next few months where people are just brand new to everything going on. So maybe we should just recap kind of what happened in January and where we're at today and then and where we're going forward. You want me to do that?
Go for it.
So yeah, anyone new listening, wondering what's happening here with lending and savers, on January 8th, a tweet went out kind of criticizing lending, and it went viral. And JP ended up pausing lenders and savers, preventing withdrawals so that we can work out like a payback plan on them. And that was reversed, that pause, a few hours later by nodes, and then a bank run ensued on ThorChain, where people started paying back loans and withdrawing from savers and whatnot. And this went on and off for a couple of weeks until ultimately nodes paused the network, paused lending and savers permanently to work on a payback plan. Because basically we can't have one withdrawal at once and everyone would be left with nothing. So lenders and savers are basically defaulted on. And so you can't withdraw from them. And a payback plan is being has been was discussed, debated, and worked on. And it ended up going with Alex's proposal, which we can get into. But that's the gist. ThorChain is defaulting on lending and savers. So any of you users, you cannot withdraw. And in You're, we're going to make, we're trying our best to pay you back to make you whole. And maybe I'll let Alex talk about his solution, how we're going to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ken. So, what ThorChain has to boast that many other protocols do not is a pretty important cash flow of size. We're talking about around $30 to $50 million per year, if we just count current rate of revenue. Of course, the intention is for that to grow, but that allows us to be able to do some things. Now, all of that revenue is not profit, right? A lot of that is cost of goods sold that needs to go back to validators for doing the work of maintaining the network and running the network and having their collateral, liquidity providers, hold rune holders by burning, etc. So we cannot really just use all of that revenue. We have to do it somehow different. And the important thing here as well is that the value of something, if the period of its cash flow is indefinite, is much higher. So you can calculate the value of today of future cash flows, and that value is higher. So what we did with Proposal 6 is play with that in our favor. And what we're doing is around 10% of the fees on ThorChain to this new token called TCY, ThorChain Yield. So every morning, every 24 hours, roughly, TCY holders get their 10% of the fees in perpetuity. Now, the nice thing here is that by doing it this way, these debt holders could sell their debt claim to a third party who would be happy to provide the liquidity for that exchange because they're getting a piece of the pie for a very long, long time. And that has value, right? So what we're looking to do and everything else in the proposal essentially is just either have stability of the system, number one. Number two, accrue value to RUNE and or volume of the program. And third, just making these debt holders whole with this TCY token. So we can perhaps go into more detail there. But we've been working with NineRealms team to take this into the code, into mainnet, as soon as we can. And essentially, people will be able to claim their TCY, hold it, and be receiving RUNE every day from Real Yield. And then anytime, whenever they feel that the price of TCY on the market in a pool that will be on Thorchain is the right price for them, they can sell that debt claim to somebody else. Of course, we were giving that TCY one-to-one. There's roughly $206 million owed. So we're minting just a little bit above that, $210 million. $206 will go one-to-one per dollar owed to these people. And the other four are just used by NineRealms to seed the pool. So there's ample liquidity for exchanges to happen and people to buy TCY if they so desire, and hopefully that keeps the price at an attractive rate. And any debt holder that needs the money and they need to exit quickly, they can do it. Obviously, patient players all around, and this goes for DLPs, nodes, everyone that's more patient in the system, provided that the system keeps succeeding, will of course get a better deal. But that's up to everyone to choose. Every single person to choose. So, that's the gist of it.
Can I add to that? So for people wondering, where does that $206 million number come from? That's all the Bitcoin and Ethereum and crypto that was owed people on January 24th. That took the prices of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and crypto that day, and dollarized the debt. So that we come up with a US dollar amount that's owed. And then that's, so basically for every $1 debt, there's going to be one TCY token. And so the good news out of this is that if that TCY token trades up to a dollar, then you're made whole based on the US dollar value that day. But obviously, your debt was in, you're owed Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? And the Bitcoin and Ethereum price could go higher than what it was on January 24th. Well, the TCY token, it could go higher than a dollar too. The bet here, the hope, the expectation, obviously, is Thorchain does well and grows. And if Thorchain's revenue grows faster or higher percentage than the Bitcoin or Ethereum price goes up, the TCY token can trade over a dollar. It could trade at $2 or $3 or $4 someday. So there is a pathway for you to be made whole, not just in dollar terms, but also in Bitcoin and Ethereum terms. So not all is lost. There's still hope. There's still a way out of this.
Oh, and someone that wishes just to have Bitcoin exposure, they can choose 50 cents of TCY, that's good enough for me. I'm selling it and using it to purchase BTC. That's perfectly fine. The nice thing is, as soon as we start this, everybody has a clean slate, and they can each choose what they want to do. And TCY is an asset that can be pretty attractive for liquidity. I've spoken with many people. For instance, nodes, many have been always attracted to the revenue of Thorchain, of course, and that's why they bond. But to run a node, you have to have this validator set up that's doing networking and maintain it, and you have to be very active and voting and all that. So here you get kind of yield hands-free. Of course, you don't get the governance rights that nodes do, but it's a very similar experience. Also, for everybody that has always wanted to kind of get some share of that yield, and they were too small to be a bond provider, for instance. So it's attractive. We want to make it attractive, and that's how it's designed from the ground up. And the more attractive it is, the more likely that a debt holder can exit sooner rather than later at some attractive price, such that they can then continue to be exposed to the assets of their choosing.
And the yield on TCY is runes, right? So the not only will the debt holders get the TCY token, but the yield going to those tokens are basically is a rune. So people will be able to accumulate rune tokens as well. So you have upside in the TCY token and upside in the rune, like interest payments, if you will. Upside in the rune price going up there as well, correct?
Yeah, they also could just swap it to whatever asset it is that they want, which is why I think it's a really, taking a pretty poor situation and at least providing that is a good step to try to get everything reconciled. The other thing I just wanted to like frame a lot of this around is while the situation it has been pretty existential, with the plan that Alex has put together, Thorchain survives, Rune becomes, an investable asset again. Thorchain can continue to grow, and ThorFi users have a path towards, getting paid back. So out of a very impossible situation, there is like a lot of opportunity here in kind of how all of these pieces fit together and why. There's a lot of pieces that need to get balanced in order to continue here.
So do you guys have a timeline and an estimate on when people can start claiming the TCY token?
Yeah, that's a great question. So over this week, the Nine Realms team and the Maya team have been kind of coordinating on the draft pull request for introducing the TCY token. So that pull request includes how to claim your TCY initially, and then how the TCY yield gets distributed to TCY holders. So we're in the weeds figuring out exactly how to implement all of that. And I'm hoping by over the next couple of days that we'll have that come out of draft, and then everybody can start to review things in earnest. But I think we all know what the mechanically how that all fits together. Now it's just getting it all up, and then we'll get it open for review, and optimistically, hopefully have something that can go into either this next release or the release after.
And putting a bit more light into that, we already have the experience essentially of doing most of the things that Orion is speaking about with it on Maya a few years back. We had the chance now to do some improvements on it because Thorchain just has an order of magnitude more addresses, so that just makes computing the things at hand a bit slower, and we don't want to have a drag on the block time. We actually want to make block time shorter, so we're making a few things to make that more efficient using a key value store of the balances that are just updated. That way we don't have to calculate as many things in a block. And also we have to add the claiming procedure, because on Maya we just minted it and we distributed it manually. In this case, we need this claiming procedure to be there. So that's also something that's being worked on now. But it's all straightforward, I think. Orion had, like he said, a meeting, Nine Realms with and Maya guys yesterday. And it's all clear what we need to do. Of course, this is still, sensitive code. Everything that goes into mainnet, you don't want consensus failure or things that, computations that take too much time. So we just need to make sure everything is properly designed, and we don't want to, have a cold start or a false start. So,
So it sounds like it should take several weeks, not several months.
Correct. Correct. From the point we wrote the implementation plan, the unit of measure of TCY going out is in weeks. It's definitely not, several months. Correct.
Yeah, so, I also wanted to add on a little bit. So for a affected ThorFi user, what you'll expect in the future is a website where you'll go and sign a transaction from your L1 address that will have a claiming memo and includes your ThorChain address that you've created. Then from there you'll get your TCY balance to that ThorChain address, and then you'll be able to either swap or just have the yield piped right into your wallet. You don't have to do anything. So mechanically, that is what to expect if you're a affected user here. Again, all of that will be broadcast more when we have more specifics, but just broad strokes, that's what to expect.
And there's going to be a TCY pool on ThorChain going forward where people will be able to sell their TCY or buy from the pool. And is the plan still to seed the pool 300 grand from the treasury and 3 million TCY tokens? So it'll start trading at 10 cents in the pool?
Yeah, so that's still the plan. The pool on ThorChain, we'll help facilitate that. And then also any unclaimed TCY, the yield from that will be bidding on TCY in that pool in order to try to help bring additional buy pressure for affected users there.
So if a ThorFi user doesn't claim their TCY, say for a year, and they come and find out what's going on, they're late to the party, does it matter how late they are? They'll still get their TCY, but whatever yield was being paid out to those tokens, they don't get. That's going to be going to the pool to buy pressure on the pool. Yeah.
So the thing is, payouts are comparatively small to the price of TCY, and this is something that we will be quickly realizing. So 1 year of payout difference is not really that relevant. What's relevant is the systematic buy pressure that the TCY claiming module will produce on the pool. Since it's always buying back and keeping that TCY to keep buying more and more and more TCY, that buy pressure effect on the price is greater than what you could have gotten by claiming 1 year earlier. So it's actually causing what we want to focus the most on is what that price is, and that price will be affected by several things. How much volume we have, rate of growth is, what the perception of the risk of the protocol is, and how long do people think it will keep being around. If we influence those four things to the positive and are systematically buying back TCY from the claiming module, this TCY price is what has a greater effect on the well-being of a user, essentially. So they get their TCY in full, which is an important part, and they didn't claim in time to get 1 year worth of rewards. Doesn't matter. That was used to just purchase more TCY and keep beating the price up.
So where does the TCY go from that unclaimed yield that's going to the pool to buy tokens to drive up the price? It's taking TCY out of the pool. Where does that end up?
Back to the claiming module. So the claiming module has TCY and has room. Why does it have room? Because it had TCY that got paid, yesterday. So what it always keeps doing is using that room to every day swap it for TCY. So it keeps accumulating more and more TCY. Now, the TCY that it owes to the debt holders, it's already hard-coded. So if somebody comes, they're owed 14 TCY, they're still owed 14 TCY you know, 1 year later, even if the claiming module has acquired more TCY now. Excess TCY that is not claimable by anyone, that's essentially profit that the claiming module is starting to accumulate, to keep getting more room to buy more TCY. Essentially, what we want to get to is that, you know, over 5 to 10 years, the TCY claiming module actually accumulates 30% of the supply for itself. And then we can see what to do with that later. But that's pretty much it.
That was my next question. What would happen to the claiming module if all the debtors claim their TCY, then all that's left in the module is basically owned by the protocol, and it'll be up to the nodes to decide what to do with that TCY?
Correct. And the nice thing is that TCY claiming module is an indiscriminate buyer of TCY. It doesn't matter what price is today, it's buying anyway. Just like the burn of Rune right now is indiscriminate. It doesn't matter what price of Rune there is, the protocol is buying back and burning it. That for an investor going into the token is quite attractive, right? Because there's always know there's at least some marginal liquidity entering to the counter of your trade if you want to exit.
Great.
I do have two questions. First of all, I like the space and how transparently you talk about all that. But there were those talks about the regulatory risks. As we get for the TYC kind of a dividend. And so it could be seen as a security, and how you would get the regulatories done. As the main problem there is that you have holders from all over the world with different regulatories. Yeah. And the second point I want to go to, sorry for those two questions, but I just wanted to make those two and then be off again, is, are you in touch with Namada, or do you seek to have a cooperation with them, as they might be a place where a lot of revenue would maybe come from, as they also do a lot of privacy and would be a perfect place for I think a lot of people who also support Tortin.
I can answer the first. The second, I didn't get exactly the name that you mentioned, but on the first one, it's actually pretty easy. Again, the claiming module is there aptly designed, because you know, this is a decentralized protocol. We cannot know what the situation of every holder all over the world is. But you don't have the only way you get those payouts every day, if that's a problem for you, is if you claim. So what you can do is just not claim. And whenever the TCY price is at a point where you say, okay, this is the point where I wanted my exit at, you just claim and sell it. So instead of having these kind of recurring taxable events on your jurisdiction, you just have that one event and that you write it off against the debt that you carried, and that's it. So also it's perfectly compatible with, you know, the needs of anyone in the world if this is a problem in their jurisdiction.
Thank you very much.
I relay more to Kenton or Orion to the second question, sorry.
Yeah, the name was Namada, N-A-M-A-D-A.
I've never heard of them.
What's the relevance? How is that relevant? Like, what is it? What are you talking about?
Namada. It's a chain which is going mainnet, and they want to make everything private, such as Bitcoin, etc., through kind of a second layer, but with ability of first layer interactions. it's a bit complicated and very techy, but they also want to have swaps in their second layer, as they kind of are, it could be interesting to see if at least you could kind of get a interaction with Namada in a professional way, not just that it just works. But
on the one hand, Fortune has to work with like settled players, I think. So we're not too familiar with what they're doing now, and we wish them lots of luck. If they support similar assets that Thorchin does, there can be aggregation between both protocols, which is always nice. I think we can keep an eye on it and take a look at it when they're kind of out and working. But thank you for making us aware of it, sir.
Yeah, because I think it is very important to have them and to see them, as they might make a lot of revenue, because a lot of people are interested in having everything private and are privacy focused, and that's why I wanted to make you aware of them, because they might be an interesting partner maybe.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for everything, I have to say.
For sure, all pressure, sir.
Awesome. As we're waiting for new questions to roll in, I just wanted to take a moment to just acknowledge a lot of hard work that folks have been doing behind the scenes to get integrations re-enabled. In order for all of this to work and Thorchain to grow, we need integrations to be, continuing to serve swaps through Thorchain. And there's a lot of folks behind the scenes that have been pushing really hard to help integration partners understand the state of play with the network and how their users are protected, and that swaps can continue to flow. So just wanted to voice that appreciation and let those people know that all of this is possible through a lot of hard work that they've been putting in.
Yeah, you guys, Nine Miles has done a great job. You guys, you've done a fantastic job managing those relationships. And Eowyn's tweet the other day, the CEO of Trust Wallet, celebrating you guys. That was good. That was huge. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah, thanks. I think I just appreciate that.
Do you guys do you have any alpha you can share? Like, is there any? Like, so those are existing integrations. So they're all happy. They've kept Thorchain on. Everything is back normal. Do you have any, can you give us any insight on any new ones coming down the pike? Are those still moving forward? Maybe you can't name names, but those conversations are still happening. They're still positive. Have they been phased by everything going on? Are they pulling in the reins, like they're kind of holding back now, or no, they're still moving forward?
Yeah. So broad strokes, reputation is everything for a lot of partners in the industry. So they're understandably very cautious. At this point, all of the conversations are still ongoing, but there's also Thorchain needs a bit of time to regain its feet deliver on TCY and making sure that affected users are taken care of as best as possible. And then I think a lot of those conversations can start in earnest. Meanwhile, continuing to improve the integration process in anticipation of that day, I think is been a big thing. So at this point, we're gonna be in ETH Denver next week, and you know, planning to talk with everybody, make sure that everybody understands where things are at and where they're headed, so that there's no surprises, and that everybody has kind of full view on, you know, where Thorchain's at, you know, what we're doing currently, and then, you know, what to expect in the future there.
Great.
Yep, and of course, just continuing to work with our existing partners, and obviously Trust Wallet is one that we've been working hard to just maintain that relationship and keep that in a good spot. So, and you know, it shouldn't be understated like how they, by continuing to serve Thorchain Roots, that's them really placing their own brand on the line for Thorchain. So. It definitely should not be understated how much that that Erwin and the Trust Wallet team has contributed towards this network, and their continued support is you know, very highly appreciated. So we just want to make sure that people are aware that, you know, continuing to serve Thorchain Roots is great for Thorchain, but it's not a small risk that they take on their own part to continue you know, working symbiotically with both of us. So yeah, huge shout outs to Erwin, who we've been working closely with, and along with the swaps team, who've been very supportive. Part of this transition has also been moving the swap product from the client side of Trust Wallet to the back end. Like they're basically spinning up like a whole new like back end for swaps, or just migrating things over. So that's also been part of just the thrash between you know, getting all the routes set up and making sure that rune trading is available in that, which I do believe it is available now, because they've migrated most of these routes to the back end side of the integration now. So yeah, the Trust team is continuing to just work on the integration and just continuing to be a great partner through this entire thing. Along, and you know, obviously Ledger is back online. They were just turning on Binance Smart Chain and AVAX swaps actually just yesterday. So that's still going through some testing, I believe. But you know, Ledger is also moving as expected.
If I could just throw out a tidbit for like something that always sticks in my mind is Trust Wallet has, I mean, they're pushing towards 200 million downloads now. And if we just keep it simple, about 200 million users. Like Thorchain only has 60,000 users per month. At best, that's 0.03% of 200 million, right? If we pretend those 60,000 people all come from Trust Wallet, which they don't, let's just pretend they do. That's only 0.03% of 200 million. Like there's, you know, in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, there should be like 1 or 2% of Trust Wallet users using Thorchain one eventually, and if that happens, that our user base will go up like 30 to 50x. Like it's crazy. So there's so much growth potential in Thorchain, and in the revenue, and you know, liquidity fees and volume, and that's obviously good for Rune, and it's good for the TCY token, right? And that's why, you know, some people kind of dump on the 10% of Thorchain's revenue. Like last year, revenue was 31 million. So 10% is only 3 million going to TCY. But if Thorchain's revenues are going to 5X, 10X, 20X over the next few years, the TCY token will trade up and Rune will trade up, and both tokens will benefit together. And just kind of keep going on a tangent here. The benefit of converting the ThorFi debt to TCY to be kind of like equity is that now TCY and token run the same page. We both benefit together. So there's no more one benefits at the expense of the other. You know, if Rune holders are doing well, TCY holders are doing well and increase their chances of getting paid back. But yeah, that's one thing is for me, it's always been Trust Wallet is so huge for us. There's so many people there, and it's just, we just get a more than a fraction of a percent. It's going to make such a big difference on volume and revenue on Thorchain. So it's, in my opinion, it's just a matter of time. It just takes time for those people to start learning about Thorchain and using it, but it's got to come.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I'm particularly excited about, you know, the ThorFi situation has, you know, been an immediate concern, but the kind of existing roadmap is still in you know, making significant progress around chains and the app layer specifically. So I know that there's a lot of awesome opportunity there with the app layer launch, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So I think that there's going to be a really cool opportunity for the ecosystem to, you know, have kind of this rebirth moment here, where, you know, there's a lot of utility from the app layer that that everybody can leverage and, you know, benefits all users, whether that's directly because, you know, you were able to use something on the app layer, or indirectly via revenue that's driving. There's a big catalyst in my mind in terms of like what ThorChain is. And, you know, we've had this kind of native asset settlement piece for a long time, and that's been very successful. And this next stage is kind of like full Sublime DeFi offering across, you know, all of the major utilities, and then and, you know, everybody benefits from all of that.
So with Rajira coming, is that and you guys working on TCY, are they both being worked on in parallel, or is your work on TCY setting back, going to push back Rajira?
Yeah, so I realize this gets a bit confusing, but everything is happening in parallel. Rajira and the majority of the app layer work is a whole other set of folks. And then there's the Maya devs, Alex and I, working on the TCY piece. And then, you know, there's other Nine Realms folks like Pluto and Eridanus and Bjorn that are working on, you know, the kind of the original Q1 roadmap. So all of this is all coming together in parallel. It's a lot to you know, keep track of, but, you know, momentum slowed down a bit with the whole ThorFi situation, but also people have just been charging forward, charging hard.
Nice. So do you think?
Yeah, and I believe the next priority is getting Cosmawasm, like those PRs are submitted by the Rajira team, getting Cosmawasm contracts live. And these are being reviewed right now by the security team. They're pretty hefty, so I don't know how long that's going to take. But I believe they're scheduled for the next release. Don't quote me on that. But Cosmawasm should be live very soon, which I believe is the last requirement to actually get Rajira live.
Right on. So Rajira is basically going to work on secured assets. There's been talk and concerns about the size of the bond right now on ThorChain, that we're not going to have enough security to, you know, right now we're at the hard cap, pools can't go up in value. Are we going to have enough room in secured assets for Rajira to get going? And for there to be some volume starting there, or no, we don't have enough room for that many secured assets right now.
Yeah, this is a great question. So, you know, there's been quite a bit of discussion around the kind of economic security. You know, early on in ThorChain's history, ThorChain has had a very conservative approach to security budget, and I think that served ThorChain very well through its kind of early phase of the protocol, because, you know, it just helped with the kind of censorship resistant nature of everything, and verifying that, you know, that there is significant security for the exogenous assets. I think now with kind of where ThorChain's at in its kind of arc, you know, that relaxing the security budget, you know, is a valuable discussion that the community should have. And I think that, like, personally, my take there is that you know, relaxing the security budget appropriately is a necessary step to keep the you know, high velocity going with all of the moving pieces here. The reality is that like the Node community is very engaged. You know, looking at like node concentrations, you know, that all seems healthy. And so the original risk of having things be, you know, over bonded, if you will, you know, I think can be relaxed a little bit because the social reality is a bit different than kind of the maximal defensiveness that we've had in the past.
But and by relaxing the security, are you basically saying instead of having $2 to protect $1, we could maybe go down to $1 protecting $1 or somewhere in between?
Or $1.50 of security budget per dollar secured. You know, something like that provides enough capacity to get all of the pieces bootstrapped, and then you know, if for some reason there's like some external you know, reason why Thorchain might want to increase its security in the future, that's all possible. But relaxing it, in my mind, just allows you know, allows for, you know, better velocity of money here, and we'll end up getting you know, benefiting from that capital efficiency, which then in turn, you know, helps all of the downstream you know, mechanics of the network.
So instead of
how do we ask a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Awesome. Thank you. I just didn't know if I was supposed to check in with the host, or I've been on a few of these and they all run a little.
I mean, normally you wait until there's a gap in speaking and then you'd ask any question, but you can go and ask your question.
Cool. Because I'm managing quite a few different loans for just friends and family. And obviously they've gone into the portal. They use Shapeshift wallets. And they just keep asking me, why does the status say halted? And when am I going to be able to pay back my loans so that I can get access to my Bitcoin or Ethereum? So that's pretty much the question that I just keep getting. I know it's probably a simple question and maybe you have already gone over this, but that's the question I just keep getting from friends and family. And I'm not sure how to answer that in just layman's terms.
Here to make sure that you guys have the clear message. So yeah, the feature for lending and savers has been disabled by the node operators. There will be a process for you to claim your TCY tokens that are the a claim on the debt that you have in the system, and that's being worked on actively right now. And to sit tight, and there will be you know, clear instructions over the next couple of weeks around how to claim the TCY tokens, and then you know, you guys can make decisions on what you want to do with that.
Okay, so they'll be able to pay back their debt with the tokens that are issued. Is that what I'm understanding?
No. So so essentially, Thorchain has like disabled the lending feature, and what they are entitled to now is a amount of TCY that corresponds to the dollarized value of their debt when nodes disabled it. So I realize that's a mouthful.
So if you borrowed, I mean, can you give me an example here? Because what I'm hearing is, if I borrowed, let's say, you held as collateral one Bitcoin, which ended up giving me a half, whatever it was. Let's say it was I don't know. I can't remember when I did it. I think it was Bitcoin was at 50,000. So yep. I held I gave up collateral of one Bitcoin. I got 25 grand loan. I want to pay that 25 grand back and get my one Bitcoin back. That's what they want to do.
So the collateral is now worth 100,000 and they still owe 25,000. So the 75,000 excess is tokenized into TCY. So they would be eligible for 75,000 TCY tokens whose value is dependent on Thorchain's performance. And they can, when they get the token, they can decide if they keep it and wait and get daily payouts from the protocol system income, or if they prefer to sell it and, you know, buy Bitcoin again, depending on the price TCY has.
But it's pegged to the price of TCY, because I don't think they're going to be interested. They're not interested in any yield or any. They just want their Bitcoin back. That's plain and simple. That's all they want. They want to pay their 25 grand and they want to get their Bitcoin back.
It's not there. It's gone. So
okay.
In lieu of that, you're getting TCY tokens,
which is valued at what?
We don't know. They're going to start trading at 10 cents, and then it'll be up to the market, the price in it, wherever.
Okay, so basically I have to tell them your Bitcoin's gone.
Yes.
Okay.
So the TCY token is an attempt to pay people back so that you'll be able to, hopefully one day you can sell that token and buy back one Bitcoin or 0.5 Bitcoin, so, however you want to look at it.
So I guess my question is then how in the heck did that happen? That's what I want to know. Because as I was researching this and seeing, the only way I could see it really happening is if Rune went to like 50 cents. So as I was, you know, doing the due diligence for the loans, they capped it. And I was watching Nine Realms and they kept saying that it's healthy, it's healthy, it's healthy. So I'm trying to figure out how did this happen?
Yeah. So a bit light on this, but by the way, like the people speaking now here, we weren't involved in creating the problem where we came in to try and find a solution. Now, the thing is, Rune did touch $1, and that $1, it was already so close to the spiraling off that we had 30 nodes already leaving the network and looking to dump the Rune, and that would have pretty much ended the protocol. And not only would the BTC from the loans be lost, but even any chance of recovery, as like you say, at 50 cents it was already completely game over, but we were already going there imminently on Saturday, February 2nd. So what this proposal is doing is stopping the bleed, which we did, and it can be clearly seen that we're not free-falling anymore. And now doing the best we can for all the players in the protocol, including lenders and savers, such that they have a hope to recover. We could go into more details. I think there's a lot of written formats, written form posts about why lending didn't work. Even Nine Realms itself published a very long report that Orion, maybe you can link here.
Yeah, I'll link the risk report.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, right now at this point, I just have to let them know that it's gone. And then I just have to let them know what's being done in, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to understand the technicalities it. And I'm wondering, how do I follow? I mean, I'm not on X a lot. I just jumped on because I couldn't get any answers from anybody. I kept trying to figure out, like, who do I email? Who do I, and I know that's kind of the issue with decentralization, but at the same time, there's got to be somebody running the show.
That's why we're here. So, that's why we're doing this. We're doing it for you. and hopefully anybody else can listen to the recording, right? We want to try and answer as many questions as we can.
Okay, so what's your position then?
Well, maybe I want to answer your question more clearly. Like, how did this happen? There's a bank run on Thorchain, and we can debate a bit on who started it. Basically everybody started withdrawing at once. And so if everyone starts paying their loans at once, if everybody starts pulling out of the pools, if everybody starts withdrawing savers, if nodes pull out, if people sell their rune, it all goes to zero. And So to stop that and to try and make, try and salvage the situation, nodes decided to default on lending and savers and prevent people from paying back their loans to redeem their collateral and prevent savers from pulling out to keep, so the pools don't go to zero. Basically to keep the system alive, keep it afloat. And, it got to a point there where everybody was just withdrawing. Everybody, like, we're on the brink. It was a giant game of chicken between rune holders, node operators, liquidity providers, savers, and lenders. Who's going to pull out? Who's going to stay? And it was a bank run. It's that simple. So the nodes decided in the end to default on lending and savers, right? Prevent you from paying back your loan and get back your Bitcoin. Because that's really kind of like the linchpin in all this. If we can stop that, we can protect the network. And and then the good thing is, this is bad for you. I'm not saying it's not good, but the light at the end of the tunnel is there is a path for you to get paid back, and that's what the point of the TCY token is. So it's not just to outright walk away from you and give you nothing. Everyone's came up with a way to, how can we pay you back without the protocol going to zero? That was the genesis of the TCY token.
Okay. So, Maverick.
So you're going to issue TCY tokens to everybody is what I'm hearing, but there's no value attached to that token.
Correct. There is a value of the, because it's worth the present value of all future cash flows of that 10%.
Because isn't Thorchain like the largest? Isn't like the largest Bitcoin swap? Correct. I mean, yeah. In the world, like, how? That's why I'm just kind of dumbfounded here.
You're like, not alone.
The bank run thing. Just I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, how? That's why I thought this was pretty secure. I thought protocols were in place. I thought, man, okay, they got, yeah, you know, I was watching the Nine Realms saying, all right, they got healthy, you know, debt to loan values. They've capped it. Like, they've put in their securities. And so I'm just thinking, who in the right mind? It had to be somebody on the inside that basically wanted to destroy the protocol.
Well, to kind of answer your question, what started this was JP pausing withdrawals and lending and savers and suggesting a 6 to 12 month payback. And that caught everyone off guard. And The community and the nodes, like, you can't pause withdrawals. It's like the cardinal sin in finance. You can't freeze people's money.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do, right. And so 6 hours late, and so JP did that on his own with the admin mirror key. And he could have done it on his own with the nosy controls. It just looks worse because he did it with his admin mirror. And then,
so where is he at?
Well, I mean, let me finish.
Why isn't he being held accountable?
Let me finish. So, okay. 6 hours later, after the backlash, the nodes reversed that to resume withdrawals, like open everything up again. And then that's when the snowball started. That's when the bank run started, basically. Everyone started freaking out because they didn't want their money frozen, And they started withdrawing.
Sure.
So JP basically created the exact situation we want to avoid. And it deteriorated over a course of a couple of weeks. And because that was catalyst, that was a spark, that was what got the fire going to increase or to insert doubt into everyone's mind about, well, who's gonna withdraw next? And you know, it's a bank run, right? Everyone's climbing on top of each other to get out first. And yeah. That's what happened. That was just like that. So yes, about JP.
Why isn't he holding accountability for this and putting in, I'm sure he's worth quite a bit.
Oh, you can ask him that. Everyone's pretty frustrated and upset with him right now. Myself, others, you know, a lot of us, right? Now, like Alex said, the people who are talking to and working on this right now, like we're the ones trying to fix it. JP is taking some time off right now. It's the best answer I can give you.
So he's not even accessible.
I have not tried to reach him. I don't know about others. I don't know if anybody else wants to comment on that, but he's gone offline again.
Okay. So the simple idea is to issue a TCY token, and we have a hope and a prayer that the market will see its value, because ThorChain is the largest, you know, L1 Bitcoin swap. I don't know what you call it. Exchange.
Yeah, Maverick. So Alux, I believe in the Twitter comments here, sent you the link to the proposal that explains exactly what TCY is. Okay. And TCY gets a, I don't want to say dividend, but it receives a portion of the system income. So as a TCY holder, you receive a portion of system income as a whole. So it'd be good for your own understanding to look at the proposal that Alux put in the comments here, and just to understand exactly what TCY is. It's not just like a token that is just being generated. There's nothing more than that. It's very similar to the Maya token on Maya protocol, which also receives 10% of the system income. So it's a token that receives income from the system as a whole. So as the protocol does swap volume, you continuously and indefinitely receive rune rewards, essentially. And that's what gives the token some kind of price and value in the protocol. But that's all detailed in the proposal, which is on GitHub.
And the
correct. And
look, the revenue is real money, right? So that yield is real. It's not, you know, like a meme coin. So TCY is going to have real value. And the market is forward looking.
So essentially TCY is the fee for the swap. So every time a swap is done, a portion of that fee, it's done in TCY token?
No. A portion of that swap is paid out to the TCY holder in Rune. So when there's a Bitcoin to ETH swap, I just want to be clear, like, we'll be back here next week. You can come back online after having read the things that I put in here in the comments. But to explain just in very easy terms, whenever there's a BTC to ETH swap, what actually happened behind the scenes was BTC to Rune and then Rune to ETH. But that's not 100% because there's a fee charged. So let's say the fee is, 20 basis points. So you swapped $100,000. There's a $200 fee that you paid. Now that fee is retained in Rune. So you paid $100,000 Bitcoin, you receive $99,800 worth of ETH in the back end, and $200 of Rune was purchased by the user and paid to the protocol. Out of those $200, what we're going to do is take 10%, and distribute it across all TCY holders once per day, the accumulation of all fees. But once per day, they get paid those $20 and the fee of any other swap to their wallets directly in Rune, that you can then that day sell to USDC or BTC, or keep it in Rune, or whatever you like. And that's happening every day. Because that TCY is your right to claim that 10% of fees ad infinitum, it has some value. So there will be liquidity available willing to purchase that TCY claim from you at some price. So you can choose. If the price is attractive enough and you're fed up, you want to leave, you can do that. And if it's low, and you don't like it, you can wait and just keep getting your daily fees. Once you sell it to someone else, now that person is the person collecting that percentage of fees from the debt claim. So that's kind of essentially how it works. It's detailed a lot in the proposal 6 and implementation plan. You can see them. I link them below. And next week, happy to answer any concrete question about.
I guess that would be dependent though on the price of Bitcoin and Ethereum and what you borrowed the collateral or what you borrowed at, right? Because if Bitcoin and Ethereum go up faster than your TCY token, you're still at a loss.
Correct. Which is why if you want to be exposed to BTC, choose a price to exit TCY at as early as you can and, you know, sell it and buy BTC. Then you're exposed to BTC only. But TCY cannot really guarantee at this point, you know, it will go up more than BTC. Guaranteeing things that are not necessarily going to be true is exactly the thing that got Thorchain into this mess. We cannot guarantee, you know, Rune will be at least worth as much as, you know, will grow together with BTC. That wasn't true. That didn't happen. And that's what started the snowball. So in the design for recovery, we can also not just build those assumptions back in, because that will just lead it to fail again.
Maverick, I just wanted to say, you know, your disappointment and everything is entirely justified here. We all feel, you know, very similarly, but there's also, you know, a huge community that's fighting like hell to turn this all around so that that people get something out of it.
Yeah. Understood. So how do we follow? I mean, I'm not on X a lot. I'm not on social media. How do we follow the progress of all this? I looked in the chat here, but I didn't see the link either. You guys said there was a link to a document that I can follow.
Yeah, on the comments.
Yeah.
Of these spaces, I tagged you and wrote the two links that I suggested you read. I can DM it to you as well, so you don't miss it.
Okay.
Let me see these.
Are you in Discord, Maverick?
Yes, I do.
That's Discord's the best. That's your best bet.
That's where I'm on. I'm on Discord.
Yeah. So on Discord, there's a few channels at the top, actually. So they're pretty visible. You have general and you have prop 6. The prop 6.
You'll need to join the Discord first. The link for the Discord you want to be in is the Thorchain Developers Discord. And the link to that is in the bio of the Thorchain account here. Just go into the link tree. And if you scroll down enough, you'll see the Thorchain Developer Discord link. And also, obviously, any of that information. So the TCY is still being developed, and that's why you can't claim it right now. So the Maya team is working hard on that. And once it's ready to be claimed, those links will be shared on the Thorchain Twitter, this account that I'm speaking from right now, along with the Thorchain Medium and in the Thorchain Discord. So definitely do not click on any links that are outside of those to claim. You'll know when it's available to claim. But the best place to keep up with updates is in the Thorchain Developers Discord.
Yeah, and anything that instills rush, guys, remember, that's probably a scam. If you see someone, you know, claim today and you have 24 hours to claim, hurry, that's not going to be Thorchain official account. You'll have at least 2 years to claim TCY. You can do it in peace, check, triple check links and that, you know, from official sources and sources you trust. But yeah, Thorchain's X account, the developer Discord and Thorchain Nine Realms Medium are kind of the best at, I guess, here. And it will be amply communicated And yeah, they're on Discord. Once you're in Maverick, like right below General, there's a channel called Prop 6.
Okay.
So there you can see the ongoing discussion of all things TCY and the recovery proposal. And you can serve the rest of the Discord to see all of that. But yeah, this proposal was written by me trying to recover these. I'm not part of Thorchin at all. I'm actually a competitor, but I'm very interested in helping people recover their livelihood. So that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And the proposal was discussed with other lenders and like yourself, savers, nodes, DLPs, integrators, developers, and as many input as I could get. And I think this is as close we can get to a positive outcome. And we'll do our best to build it fast and to have value accrue back to you guys, because you deserve it.
Is there, I'm actually invested in the Maya protocol too. Is there a possibility of a sell down the road? Like if this just doesn't, I mean, it just seems like a very attractive company to me, and it seems like they could sell and pay everybody back.
So the thing is, actually what started all of this is because Pedro from Thor Wallet had the idea to create the TCY token and to sell it, like you say, right? Let's go and raise $200 million and then pay it to everyone and give these guys that paid $200 million this TCY token for the 10% of the fees, which is amazing. But there's three problems with it. Number one is, how long will it take us to raise $200 million? Second problem is, what if we don't raise 200 million and we just raise 100? Some people will be happy with the 50%, but some others won't. It's arbitrary, right? Like, hey, you know what? I didn't agree to these terms. Why the hell are you paying me just half? And the third is, we have to trust someone to raise the money and to actually take that money and do the right thing with it, which is obviously contrary to permissionless values. What the Proposal 6 does is essentially exactly this process, but in a permissionless manner where everybody chooses their exit point. So if TCY launches and it's worth 50 cents, you sell it at 50 cents and it's functionally the same as having raised $100 million, paying it to everyone and giving people TCY. But you individually chose 50 cents at zero price. Somebody can choose 20 cents. Somebody else can choose 80 cents. Somebody else can just be happy and you know, ride TCY forever, which is also fine. So this way we do it permissionless. We don't need to trust anyone. It can be done imminently. We don't need to wait to raise those funds. And we accomplish functionally the same, but a little bit with more flexibility for you guys. Make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I'm processing it, but yeah.
I also brought up two others from the audience here. You can stay on stage in case you have more questions.
It's okay. I can jump off. I've taken enough time. I just may, hopefully it's helpful for other people that are kind of like me and in that same scenario. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to address real quick that the reason why, like, I haven't been using the Thorchain Twitter account to put this information out there as frequently as probably people would like, because the stuff is like still evolving. Like TCY is not claimable yet. The design is not set in stone. It's still being reviewed and still needs to be implemented into the protocol. Once this information is more set in stone, I definitely don't want to be in the position where we put information out there that could be changing, or like if we tweak something, or you know what I mean? So that's the reason why, like, you don't see you know, how to claim your TCY all over this profile right now. It's because this is evolving. That's why we're having these discussions, so people can ask questions. So just keep an eye on these channels, and it'll be you know, very imminently obvious when it is available. And you know, I just want to, you know, get caution to you and to everybody else to you know, not fall for like scam links. I'm sure there will be people who try and, you know, create like fake TCY claims out there. So that, yeah, again, there's like going to be no rush to claim TCY. So just stay safe out there.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Blockbuster.
Yeah. Just wondering about your front end for TCY. If,
if you're going to show like the dynamic yield on the token as it goes up and down in value.
At this point, there is no front end. There will be a specific front end for TCY claims. I'm sure that wallets and other interfaces will add more analytics around the TCY performance. Nothing currently, but there will be endpoints to support those front ends in order to accomplish that.
Also, the RUN yield that's paid to TCY holders, are we able to contribute that to the TCY liquidity pool, or is that pool limited?
So anyone can, like, NIRLs will provide sufficient liquidity for the pool. And the pool actually grows if DCY and or room price goes up, since that means that the TVL will just go deeper. Nine rounds will never withdraw it, and we would probably throw out the keys for that. But anyone can add. There is a problem though, which is we cannot have that pool be super deep in room terms, because if it starts to become significant amount of the TVL of the protocol, it starts being a bit reflexive, where positive performance of the protocol increases TCY, that fixates more RUN and increases RUN price. But then the opposite is also true. So we want to keep this reflexivity in check. And what happens then, so we limit kind of the amount of interest in LPing in that TCY RUN pool, is just that the fees from that pool will actually go back to the claiming module to buy up more TCY. So essentially it's the protocol keeps the fees from the pool. So this essentially makes it so such that it's really not attractive to LP into that pool unless it's done altruistically. And that way we make sure that we keep the pool in check, but people can, NineRealms can add more liquidity later, or anyone else, and provide enough liquidity for people going in and out.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, that'll be the ThorChain treasury doing those operations, which is distinct from NineRealms.
Yeah.
And the pool won't be collecting any liquidity fees, right? So there'd be no reason to LP, because you'd just be exposed to permanent loss. Correct. You're not going to get any fees.
Correct. You're exposed to IL without any upside. So again, it's only for doing it altruistically. Any liquidity fees from that pool in RUN will be sent to the claiming module to purchase more TCY for the claiming module to keep accumulating and increasing.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at is there going to be sufficient demand for TCY if those yields are transparent? And I mentioned the liquidity pool, but it sounds like that's not something to do. But if it trades so much at a discount, it'd be nice to have some kind of front end or something that where people could go and actually purchase TCY as an investment.
Yeah, correct. So they can purchase it from the pool anytime, and like Orion said earlier, there will be ample stats by front ends and wallets. Wallets will be able to add their affiliate fee to these swaps, so they will actually happily route users to purchase or sell TCY in their front ends. And for that, they will provide any stats required. But yeah, also the yield is pretty easy and transparent. You can just, like, you'll see the RUN just show up in your wallet, or in anyone's wallet for that matter. And you can calculate pretty easily, stats yourself. But again, there will be ample tooling for these by front end wallets, RUN tools probably, and anyone else under the sun. As it is a pretty attractive asset in the end, and it will be very interesting for many people to track it. We've already seen significant institutional interest for the token,
So yeah, everybody will be seeing, you know, what at what prices for them it's a buy, and at what prices maybe not so much, but definitely the data will be there.
Do you guys have a timeline for Solana? I know I think Thorchain was working on it, but not sure when that's going live.
Yeah, the latest date there is there's some more TSS work that needs to be done. In parallel, Bjorn's working on the chain client stuff. In terms of timeline, I think, you know, the soonest would be probably like 6 weeks out. But then, you know, in typical fashion, you know, that's those can kind of slide. You know, we obviously want to get the TCY stuff out soon. We want to get the app layer out fast as well. So there's other things that might push that back. But just to reiterate, like, you know, that work is being done in parallel to everything else.
All right. Thanks for your answers. I'll get out of the queue.
There's a question by D. Zingis.
Yes, hello. My question is, with TCY being basically a share in the protocol and collecting dividends, what is the incentive to hold Rune over TCY? Yeah.
So it's just getting 10% of the swap fees. The other 90% of the swap fees are going to the rest of the players are in some way or another holding Rune. And so these are nodes, Rune holders, and DLPs. So 90% is going to them through payouts to the pool, payouts to nodes, buyback and burn, etc. So we have the example of Maya protocol, where we've had Maya, which is our TCY, and Kakao, which is our Rune. And typically Rune's market cap is greater than Maya's market cap, and that's been the case pretty much all the time. Now, granted, TCY will have the ability, because it functions on multiples, to sometimes be more detached from its book value than Rune. Rune is way more tied to its kind of deterministic price, as we used to call it. But that doesn't mean holding Rune is not attractive. It gives you a lot of things. You can, you know, LP, you can run a node. Running a node, you also have governance rights, which you don't have with TCY. And we're looking to increase the system income burn, stuff like that. So I don't think it's a problem theoretically, nor is it a problem practically, as we've seen with Maya protocol already. Now, it's all a function of price. If at some point Rune is very expensive and TCY is pretty cheap, it's clear that TCY is a buy over Rune. But the opposite can also easily be the case. If many people think like you and just like TCY a lot more, and TCY price will go up, and at some point, why buy TCY so expensive if Rune is cheaper? So it's just up to the market, which is the right thing to do. We cannot really go in and try and determine things. The market is a bit smarter overall than we can hope to be.
I see. And I've read that you have eliminated the block rewards for Thorchain, so reducing the inflation rate. And correct. I've seen you announce that it will become deflationary with a burn of 5% of the system income. Can you explain what that means specifically, 5% of the system income?
Correct. So we both are already in. The 5% burn was there already. Essentially, again, going back to the swap of $100,000 to 20 basis points, $200 being paid, $20 paid to TCY, 10 would just be burnt. So this Rune that was just bought by the swapper is just burnt from the face of the earth. And now the problem was that the burn was pretty small compared to block emissions. The inflation was too high for the burn to be even significant. So what we did by reducing block rewards is now exactly make Rune more attractive. So it's a game of stabilizing the whole system. We cannot just pay attention to one thing. Rune is very important, as that's what nodes are exposed to, as well as DLPs and rune holders, who are all very important. So reducing these block emissions down to essentially zero is making Rune more attractive, essentially saying if you're now in Rune, you're not getting inflated to death for not being active participant. So so now the burn is more significant. What we have to make sure now is Rune has to be a very great, good asset, and that's what we have to work on. But also, being a validator has to be better, because we need validators to stick around, as we require the collateral for economic security, and we require them to keep running and maintaining the network. So the yield of nodes need to always be, you know, some value, and it's probably like 5-6%. So if we are above that, which today we are, there is an argument to actually even increase the burn from 5%. But if the APY is lower, now there is an argument to actually start doing block emissions again, smaller, and being paid only to nodes, not to the pools. But essentially, that's what we have to, the game we have, the balancing act we have to play. But definitely attention is put into Rune. I would even say primarily, because Rune is the lungs, it's the oxygen. If Rune is worthless, the protocol is worthless as well. And that's what the spiraling was causing. So Rune is the oxygen. We have to pay attention to it. And sometimes we need to breathe slower. Sometimes we need to breathe faster. And that's Rune. And then TCY is, of course, the way we make people whole. But that's through the work that the protocol does.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I got one more quick question. What if Rune goes up higher? Is there a dollar amount that would then make people whole? Or is that irrelevant to how high, like if Rune went to $10 or whatever?
It is relevant for many reasons, Maverick, and this is an excellent question. The system is designed such that we're all rowing in the same direction. The property you mentioned, hey, if Rune goes up, are TCY holders also better off? Yes. And I'll explain a second why. But this goes for everyone. Everybody now is either betting on a better Rune price, better volume, or both, period. There's no these PvP thing going on that used to happen with lender savers, DLPs. Everybody kind of pitted against each other. We're all now rowing in the same direction. Now, why does TCY benefit from a higher Rune price? There's a few reasons why. Number one is higher Rune price actually means higher TVL. Why? Well, because half of the TVL today is Rune. And when Rune goes up, through our balancing, we actually increase the amount of exogenous assets and just the total TVL of the system. Now, why is TVL being higher better for TCY holders? Well, because actually TVL at rest generates arbitrage volume. Even if there are no users, which, by the way, having more TVL makes us more competitive, so we can actually bring more users in. But even if we didn't, just having more TVL increases the volume at rest. And this arbitrage volume is paying fees and is generating yield for TCY holders. So that's number one, check. Number two, actually, is that as Rune price goes up, actually, the APY from nodes actually is perceived to be lower. Because now the system income cannot pay, the principal is greater. So now the APY, what it's paying out, is lower. Now that makes actually TCY in the eyes of bond providers more attractive to hedge and buy up. Now it doesn't give them governance rights, true, but it makes TCY more attractive. As Rune price goes up, TCY also becomes a more attractive way to get exposed to the yield. Now, of course, TCY then does go up in unison, and now they're kind of balanced out. So those are the two main reasons. But finally, just narratively, when Rune price is healthy and doing well, the store chain starts to be more popular. People start looking at it, and you know it's been recovering. What's going on? What happened? okay, this TCY, what is this? Oh, this is an attractive asset. So just narratively also, and from the point of view of kind of the vibes or the community, I think it also will have a positive impact. So there's two direct impacts and one indirect impact from what I've been able to kind of think about.
And could there be a possibility of launching an ETF in the future? Because that would bring a lot of people to Thorchain.
There's a lot of institutional work to be done, which is kind of what you mentioned. But
get JP to pay for it.
Sorry?
Get JP to pay for it. No, it was a joke. But
sorry. Yeah.
No, well, no, JP is actually working on some kind of MicroStrategy / Rune ETF idea already. Because
I think the quicker you could file an ETF, the better off it would be. I mean, especially with just what's going on. I mean, seeing Litecoin and Solana and I mean, even Doge. I mean, there's going to be billions that are going to flow into those.
Yeah,
Grayscale
has already got Thorchain on its list of assets that they might include in an ETF one day.
Well, let's not get over our skis, guys. So there's a lot of work that we got to do in order to make that a reality.
Yeah.
The point being that there is a path to that. With if we can execute well on the TCY launch, you know, make sure Thorchain's at a stable spot, get the app layer rolling, you know, grow revenue like crazy, then we have that, that could be in the future. But this is just going to take a lot of work to get to that point. But the reason why, the community rallied around Prop 6 is because it keeps that, as a possibility. John, did you have a question?
So the normal liquidity pools are operational as usual?
So the pools are operational in that, you know, people can swap through them. Currently, Thorchain is at its security hard cap, which means that no additional liquidity can be added to the pools. And that's just a function of the Rune price. So as Rune price recovers, that will automatically get lifted. And then also as Rune price recovers, there will be more space. And then also just giving things time, because every churn, additional nodes are coming online with more bond, which also helps the security side.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Alex, have you guys, is it still part of the plan to be able to bond LP units similar to Maya?
Likely, yes. So there's the third line of work that we have to kind of be focused on. Number one is, yes, all of these to do with TCY and recovery. Number two, just the roadmap, you know, integrations, wallets, all of that. But a third one is capital efficiency. Why? Well, capital efficiency will make it such that we have more revenues, more juice from what we have. And that's great for TCY holders as well. And that's kind of another way we can get out of this hole. Now, there's a few ways to have more capital efficiency. For instance, one that I really like and that I think we should be focused on doing soon is just reducing block time. Why? Well, if you reduce block time by half, it won't, like, what it will do is the TVL at rest will be able to do more work. So actually arbitrage volume would go up, and also just, you know, streaming swaps could be streamed over 28,000 intervals instead of 14,000. So you can have actually faster swaps, bigger swaps, etc. So you can just do more work with what we have. So that's one. Another one are things to do with, you know, how ARBs and streaming swaps work. And I won't get into much detail, since I think this might be done on Maya first, but it's essentially got to do with something that Chad worked on 1 or 2 years ago, to do with like order books and stuff like that.
A third one is, okay, so we need to increase economic security. People can hold Rune, of course, and, you know, bond that. But there's other people with capital at stake, which are DLPs. So what if we also allow them to bond and increase economic security with their stake? This is something that we asked ourselves on Maya and launched this way, and it's just more capital efficient. Now, the problem is there's way more Rune on Thorchain than liquidity. So the effect would be smaller here. So it's something to take into account as to bank for a buck. But just like these three simple examples, there's like several others. Me and Orion have discussed with several other stakeholders of what could we be doing to just be more efficient. And of course, things here also play out, like, you know, wallets, integrations, chains, Rujira, all of that will help us just do more work. And that's what we want. Do more work so that we create more fees, so that everybody in the system gets compensated, and especially those affected have their path to recovery done faster. So that's where liquidity nodes fits into this conversation. Now, I do entail in the proposal that the liquidity nodes is one thing we will look at among many others for capital efficiency, and that's what we will do.
Have you guys talked about being able to bond the TC? DY token, because in theory it's the same as Rune, right? They're going to go up and down together, and that'd give more utility to TCY, increasing its value.
The thing is, we do need the asset that's used to bond to be valid collateral. And the liquidity in Rune is such that the collateral is kind of, you want the collateral to be liquid, rather. That's a better way to just say it. And Rune will be significant, is today significantly more liquid. We had $1.3 billion volume day the other day. That's how liquid this thing is. So if you want valid collateral, it has to be liquid. And that's why I would kind of cower or be very reserved against other types of assets being bondable. The case of liquidity, it is by definition also liquid. So that's why I think it's also a valid collateral. As in, maybe TCY Rune liquidity could be bondable, maybe. But I wouldn't be in favor of having TCY be purely vulnerable.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right. Are there any remaining questions?
I think we can call it a day, and let's just do this more often. Thursdays with Thorchain. That's how we should
call it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for hopping on. Really appreciate everybody's time. Kenton, Alex, really appreciate it. And yeah, thanks, Maverick, John, I guess Dingus. Thank you all for hopping on, asking some questions, and I'll see everybody next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.